Hello there, superstar listeners. His name is Aaron, and his voice sounds like this.
His name's Tommy, and he sells video games and video game accessories.
This is the Super Pod Saga.
I didn't know how long I was supposed to wait. I thought you were going to say, like the previous episode, we did the whole Ray Barone thing. I thought you were going to be like, my name's Aaron.
No, I'm not going to lie to the listeners. Oh, man. Welcome to the Super Pod Saga, listeners. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Grab a seat. Take a nice... We got some ice water sitting nearby. This is a podcast where Aaron and I bring a different video game topic to the table every week, and we discuss it until there is nothing left to discuss. And we're going to do that every week until we run out of things to talk about. And this week, we're not alone. We have a special guest. His name is Harrison from Grief Burrito. Hi, Harrison. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
We're glad to
have
you.
Taking a little while, hasn't it, Aaron? We've been chatting behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think... We were supposed to have you on in like what, February, but then
something like
there's
that.
Just a
yeah.
ton of stuff happening. Yeah,
I'm sure a lot of it was my fault. No,
go ahead. No, I think it was mine as well. We're hard to nail down because there's two of us, but we both work crazy jobs. So you've actually got one of the burrito boys on, but it's given me time to decide that I'm going to rank your game adjacent media experience, or the abbreviation that I liked is GAME, game. So yes, any quick spellers in
good.
The
Ooh,
that's really good. Noticed that.
Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners about you, what video games you like, and then tell us what Grief Burrito is.
Okay, so my gaming sort of career started quite a long time ago, as I am in the 30-year-old gaming category. So
yes.
My first console was a NES. Remember sitting on my dad's knee while he played the Atari, that kind of thing. So my dad is the guy who brought back the game consoles as a kid, and he's still gaming to this day. Grief Burrito is a gaming podcast that's been around for about 4 years now, I think.
Whoa.
Sitting at number one on the Podchaser game charts, which is pretty Ooh. Fucking sweet still.
Yeah.
So we've been doing loads of different kind of episodes, really. We do anything from gaming, movies. We do review episodes on particular specific games where we play through the whole thing. Or we do the Spooky Burrito episodes, which is where we look at paranormal cases as well, which are just like once a month, just a bit of a stupid thing at the end of the month to get all the laughs out, basically.
Okay,
that's cool.
Where did the Grief Burrito come from? Because I love just reading it and thinking about it.
It's it's a funny name. I know it's weird, and every time I say to someone the name of the podcast, they're like, "What?" it actually came from on episode zero. I had a different co-host at the time. We love food, and we were at uni studying video game development. Went into doing like TV production, all that sort of stuff. Worked for Netflix, BBC, ITV, and all that bollocks. But at the time when we were at this uni place, we used to go to this burrito restaurant, and the burritos were that good that no matter how hard the day was, no matter how difficult the game production was, these burritos would always cure any ailment that you had. So they became termed Grief Burritos because they solved the grief that you would be feeling. And
I love that.
Up on the spot on episode zero, and we were like, right, that's got to be the name. So we just stuck with it.
That's perfect. Wow. I
love it.
I love that.
As all burritos should be.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. I'm a big fan of breakfast
should be
burritos.
The weight of a child, and they should.
Yes.
You up.
Oh. Where can people find you on the social medias or wherever if they want to check out you or the podcast?
Well, because Grief Burrito is such a weird name, you can find us at Grief Burrito on every single social platform because no one had that
nice.
Name yet.
That's nice. The best. Okay, so let's see. I picked the topic for this week, and I'm not even sure how to, I think Harrison said it the best, game adjacent media, what was it? Experiences, yes. I'm a big nostalgia person, and I miss all the different ways we used to, you're the perfect age for this, which is great. The way we used to experience video games and...
You can say old.
You're the same age as us, we're all old.
Nice. Okay. Sweet.
I miss
also,
the yes.
Also, people can find Superpod Saga at superpodsaga.com.
Yes, and, that's right. Thank you, Aaron.
consider leaving us a tip if you enjoy the show, or becoming a patron for $2, $3, or $4 a month, and continue.
Thank you. I completely forgot about us.
Subscribe, review wherever you're listening, all that kind of stuff. You know,
yes, get those exactly. iTunes charts. Yes, you know, you
leave
know
a
how
positive comment, mm-hmm. positivity only.
We will delete you if you're negative.
we got one star review and they didn't leave any comment. Why? And that annoyed me more because I would have liked to have known what we did wrong.
Yeah, was it absolutely.
Was it on like one specific episode or just on as the?
It was on iTunes. Just on iTunes.
Dang, man, yeah, that's rough. It
really hurt. We burned that one.
Whoever
we burned.
Whoever you are, whoever left that review, fuck you.
Oh man.
Sorry, I'm derailing you. If you'd like to continue with what
I love, I love derailings. I really do. I'm sure we'll have.
That's basically what our show is.
Yeah.
The previous episode, we got completely caught up on Everybody Loves Raymond. Everybody Loves Raymond. And a bunch of other cool stuff.
Yeah, man. But to start, we're gonna try talking about game adjacent media. Like before the internet times, we had to go out of our way to discover video game related things and learn about video games. And I love talking about those things. I love hearing how other people experience those. So I'm excited today.
Okay.
I guess since this was my topic, one of the biggest places that I learned about video games that does not exist anymore is video game magazines.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Every time we went to the local Walmart, my mom would just go and do her shopping, and I'd just sit at the magazine rack reading my Nintendo Powers. And
me too.
Yeah,
as I'm sure too. We all did.
Yep. Me too.
They would go try on. They would come back with like 16 pairs of pants, and it'd be like, "Mom, we need to get Smash Bros. Melee."
It's weird to think about, but like that was also one of our only places to see reviews for video games back then was in magazines. It wasn't like that's now where everyone had a website, everyone had a their take podcast. On Twitter. Yeah, there wasn't us.
it was like it's either that or the playground. Though. There was no other way to find out about games. You just hope that a friend would be nice enough to lend you a Game Boy cartridge or you know a PlayStation disc just to try it. Or the demo discs that you got with the magazines.
Yes,
they were
demo
my
discs.
Absolute favorite.
There's
a particular demo that always comes to mind, and I want you guys can deny or admit this as well. I don't think the Hercules game actually existed for PlayStation.
I don't know of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think only people ever played it on demos, because everyone I know just had this certain PlayStation demo disc that had
really?
Like Tekken 2, Hercules and I think Road Rash or something like that, and everyone seemed to have it.
That not us. I didn't. I had a PlayStation demo disc, and I remember it had this most off-brand Metallica guitar shredding movie beforehand. I was just like, "This is the best. This is what video games are.
This is my life."
Yes.
As long as Matt R didn't borrow your disc,
yes, or your Game Boy,
you were good to go. There's a little bit of
with
Matt Saga
from listening to a couple of your episodes.
we
had a similar guy in our school. His name was Gareth, and people
Gareth.
Know him from our other episode. Oh. Fucking Gareth! He folded one of my Pokemon cards in half.
Oh
in his
no.
pocket to steal it, and then gave
son
it back.
Of a bitch.
He gave it back.
I've still got it. I can find it in a minute if you want and show you the crease. It was literally folded in half.
So he tried to steal it, but then why did he give it back?
Because there was only me and him there. I didn't steal it from myself.
Oh, I gotcha. Man.
Fucking, what an idiot.
Gareth and Matt are probably friends right now.
They
have a podcast where they reminisce about breaking people's stuff.
Yeah, stealing games pod, yeah.
Matt R is in jail, I'm pretty sure.
I would not be surprised.
He lived with me for like a while because his parents kicked him out. But we'll come to that another time. Let's keep going.
Did you let him live, or did you just break in? Or just...
No, we let him live there because he's a childhood friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he was really, he had a lot of home problems. But video game magazines, though.
Yeah, we'll move away swiftly.
I remember reading about Battalion Wars, which was like the GameCube version of Advance Wars. And I had no interest in Advance Wars, no idea what that was, but just reading it in a magazine and they gave it like an 8 out of 10. I'm like, this must be the best video game ever made. I need to get this. And I never did, but I remembered it from that day.
Oh, you never got it? You never actually went
to
get
it? No, I never did.
Oh, that must be a mission. You should go out, film a little video, go out and find it.
That would be good content.
good content.
Put something on the Superpod Saga YouTube. Anything.
Anything. What do you guys have any specific memories of things you read in video game magazines that have stuck with you?
Yes, I've got one that comes to mind straight away, and it's the Zelda Gaiden for the N64, which was obviously turned into Majora's Mask, which is this big poster you can see over here. I remember catching that and being like, "Oh my god, a sequel to Ocarina of Time is coming out! This is gonna change things.
this is gonna
be the big deal." It was so everything just looked strange. And obviously when the game came out and did come to release, it's definitely a strange thing and it stuck to what the magazine showed. I remember the excitement of finding that and seeing Deku Link, Zora Link, Goron Link, all these different masks, trying to look at the really low resolution.
Yeah, those pictures are so blurry.
Try and make out what was said on the C buttons to see what items you could get. I love that sort of stuff.
Oh man, we just don't get that anymore. It was really sad. I even as I grew up in high school and college, I would still go to the magazine rack, and now there's none. It just felt like as the years went on, there was less and less and fewer, and now there's still none. That makes me sad.
Sorry to interrupt. Go on.
Oh, no. You continue with mine, because I was just going to go on to my fond memory. You can continue the current conversation. I'll get to mine in a little bit. I'm just being impatient.
I was just going to ask that if someone made a magazine like that today, that was you'd probably have to do it as a much more small print, something more like a zine. Mm-hmm. Do you think many people would be interested in buying it?
I think at first they would, just out of the novelty of it, the nostalgia. People would be like, yes, I remember these. But then it's tough to compete with the internet and instant news, because you would definitely be reading older things at that point, potentially. I guess it depends on what the focus was.
And it'd be another fucking subscription to on top of Netflix and Xbox Live and Spotify and shit like that. I don't
OnlyFans.
That's tough. People would be like, do I want Netflix or do I want a magazine?
I think the only way you could really do it as a viable thing would be to have people who have larger channels and people who are game review, like gaming YouTubers or TikTok channels, for example.
Yes.
Writing the specific content for the magazine, because a lot of people don't want to hear from people they don't know about opinions, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. I remember early on in Superpod Saga, we put a poll up and we were like, would you guys want to read reviews from us? And most people voted no. We're like, message received.
It burns.
What was your memory, Aaron?
My memory was, it was the same kind of thing. It was Mom would go clothes shopping at Walmart. I would go to the magazine rack. I'm still trying to fix my pop filter here. Sorry.
It's okay.
And there was this one article. I forget which. I think it was Nintendo Power or some other magazine. But I read about there's this thing from Smash Bros. Melee about how to unlock every character.
Ooh.
And I memorized to memorize everything on there. And I was like, oh my god, Mewtwo is in this? And at the time, I thought it was impossible. It was leave the game on for fucking 24 hours straight or something. Or play 2,000 matches. And it was cool.
Ever unlock Master Hand? That's the real question.
You could unlock Master Hand?
No, that was a rumor that was in a lot of our magazines.
Oh my gosh, you fooled me. That's the thing, though.
Apparently,
with
there is a way to do it now. There's a way to do it now where you have to actually glitch the system. And it pulls up the wrong memory profiling of character select, and then you can be Master Hand, but that's the only way. You can't do it really.
That's the big thing, is the rumors and information back then was totally rumors. I remember seeing that Mewtwo thing, leaving it on for 20 hours, and I was like, there's no way that's true. That's so ridiculous. And it was absolutely true.
Yeah It must just be some way that it detects the amount of time played, or it's the average amount of 2,000 matches equals 20 hours. It'll be code statement underneath that will just pull it up. I love stuff like that, the rumors. You were on your last episode, you were speaking about Pokemon Red and Blue, and I remember the missing no glitch. Who found that out, and how?
Back then,
who was just doing that? And then there's the way to get Mew as well, and a lot of people say you can't get Mew in that game, but you can, because I had it.
Yeah, and how did that information spread around back then?
Playgrounds. I don't know how that. How did that spread to different schools?
Yeah, because we were very rural. We didn't talk to anyone outside of our local area. No. But I knew.
And MSN
I knew
wasn't
stuff about
thing
that.
Yet.
Yeah.
Or L is real from Super Mario 64. Like the whole rumor of Luigi being in Super Mario 64. That was a pretty big one too, because that would have been pretty sweet. Like co-op Super Mario 64.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. And I think recently with that, the Nintendo Giga Leak, wasn't there something that showed that the Luigi thing was actually in the files originally, but there was no way
so.
To get it. Yeah, thought so.
Classic. They had
Yoshi, for fuck's sake. They had literally everybody except Luigi in that game. It's
classic Nintendo.
Classic. Yeah,
Green Mario.
You mentioned game guides, and that's something I didn't have on my list, but you're totally right. Game guides used to be a thing. I had so many of them.
Oh, dude, like the Prima game guides,
yeah.
And the Brady Games ones, and I had one for all of my like huge games. I had one for Final Fantasy 12, Final Fantasy 9. I had one for Golden Sun 1 and 2. Had one for Pokemon Crystal.
Pokemon was my big one. That was like my Bible.
Really?
Just because of all the type differences. It had a type chart in there that I could just bookmark, and I could just look up what everyone's type was, the moves. Oh, man. That's great.
I remember with the Final Fantasy 9 guide, I tried to make my own like card game kind of thing by... There was like a little bestiary kind of thing in the back of the guide, and I would like cut out the monsters and like glue them onto index
cards. That's adorable.
And like make cool little abilities, and that would be like I attack Marlboro with a fucking Moogle, or I forget what the fuck is even in that, whatever I even had on the cards, and yeah, that was cool.
Nice, man. I actually found one of my cheat code pages the other day on really old, like, yellowed paper. It's that old from the N64 days, and it was folded up inside one of the game boxes. I'd obviously thought, oh, I'll keep all the game codes in each of the boxes, so if I wanted to get it out to play it,
nice.
Then I knew I had all the cheats for it. However, all the boxes were put in the loft, so I could never get them.
Yeah.
I remember...
Did you...
You go, oh, ahead.
Go ahead.
No. Oh. Aaron.
Okay. Did you guys ever write cheat codes in the back of the manuals in your games, in like the little notes section?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I left mine empty. I felt it. I didn't want to ruin it with my horrible handwriting.
I remember them all from my mind. His mind palace.
I remember one Grand Theft Auto San Andreas cheat code. Mm. And I think that's it. Yeah.
Well, what is it?
It's the only cheat code I can remember.
Yeah, you can't leave it at that. You got to tell us what it is, man.
It's weapons 2 or 3, and it's L1, L2, R1, R2. No, R1, R2, L1, R2, left, down, right, up, left, down, down, left.
Nice.
Yeah, the comments now clacking, correcting you. Actually, you got that wrong.
Yeah. It's actually R1, R2, L1, L2. And...
Idiot. I remember in Crash Bandicoot Warped, it's the Konami code. It's just up, up, down, down, left, right, square. But I had never played a Konami game before that. So I memorized, and it unlocked a demo for Spyro the Dragon at the main menu. And so after learning that was the Konami code, I was like, no, that's the Crash Bandicoot code.
What the hell are you talking about? It's the Crash code, idiot.
I don't remember any cheat code other than like The Sims when you had Motherload just to get loads of Simoleon dollars or whatever it was. That's the only one I remember.
Simoleons.
Simoleons. Yeah.
That's a good name for... Man. Oh, I miss cheat codes too.
Are they in modern games? I don't even think I've tried any to do any codes in modern games. I know you get more concise things. Like, I remember in Gears of War 3, for example, there was certain areas you had to go and shoot these certain alarm boxes to get, like, special weapons for certain levels and stuff. But I don't really remember much from more recent games, if I'm honest.
In the Stanley Parable and the Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe Edition, if you open the cheat menu from their dev, the dev cheat menu, they'll put you in, like, a interrogation room, and the narrator will yell at you for trying to use cheat codes.
Trying to hack the game. That's well good. That's cool.
That's awesome.
That's like, because that game breaks the fourth wall anyway, so it like goes even beyond the fourth wall. That's like breaking the fifth wall.
Oh yeah, that's Stanley Parable. I love the Stanley Parable.
An interrogation room, hell yeah. That's so cool.
I forgot, demos, about demos. My mom actually worked at the Walmart, and so every once in a while when they would replace the demo
Walmart
disc. Yeah, there's only the one. Whenever they would replace the demo discs, sometimes I would get to keep those and use them on my GameCube.
Ooh.
God, not for resale nice. Copies.
Uh-huh,
they're probably
uh-huh.
pretty valuable if you still got any of those.
Oh, I definitely don't. I have no idea what happened to my GameCube and games. It makes me horribly sad.
God, mine's over there.
God damn it. Past Aaron sold all of his GameCube games, including Skies of Arcadia. God damn it, Aaron. Damn you.
Stupid. I have two.
Oh, it's like $300 now, dude.
Would you sell it for the $300, or would you just like be happy to have it and it's worth $300?
I would play the fuck out of Skies of Arcadia. Oh, okay. Dude, those ship battles, the customizable ship battles. Are you joking? That shit's so fun. I wish I had it.
Shame. It's a shame.
I know. What? Is anybody? What? I'm trying to. I can't get this out. What's your favorite memory with like? What's your favorite memory with old GameStop?
Old GameStop. Oh my gosh. That's a great thing to bring up. I went to the two midnight releases for Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 2 or 3, one of
Nerd.
Those, just to compare
Nerd.
The two. I only bought Battlefield 3 because I was like, Battlefield's for real gamers, Call of Duty's for babies.
Oh shit.
And
do they hot shots firing across?
Do they have GameStop in the UK?
So I was about to blow your mind and say, no, Uh-oh. We don't have GameStop. We have our own that is just called Game.
Oh, it's just called Game.
Just Game.
So yeah. So there's no stopping. You have to keep walking as you go into
no
it.
No stopping. No, there's nothing, no subliminal messaging to get them to turn into the store. We're all about free will in the UK, apparently.
Yeah. Does it?
In the US, they forcefully stop you. They're like, halt,
stop,
citizen.
Stop.
Game.
Stop.
Buy these.
Consume.
Yeah, but it's pretty much the same thing. It's just the game store. The logo is purple, that's all, instead of the color. Is it orange GameStop?
It's more US? Red. I want it red and
red.
It's like
black.
It's half is white, it's half is red. I think it's like Game is
it's
white.
It's like the Smash Burger
red,
logo.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Smash. So
it's exactly the same. Jeez. It's just like racks of games.
Did
that's
you? Did they do the reselling thing where you could sell your games and then buy new games?
Not originally, no.
Oh.
We do have another store over here called it's the letters CEX. Everyone pronounces it CEX,
ooh.
But on their adverts they say sex.
No, yes.
No one calls it sex.
God damn it, that's so cool.
I know. But yes, they resell games, so then Game started having to do reselling and secondhand stuff.
So yes, they do. When you went, did you say that you said CEX, but did you ever take the opportunity to say like, hey mom, I'm just going to go stop down to the sex store. I'll be right back.
I never have, but I promise you, I will be doing from now on.
Dude, let's go to sex.
Yeah, I'm going to say that to my girlfriend because we often do go to CEX to look at whatever we can find because they sell like all sorts of gaming, think microphones, control, like absolutely everything to do with tech, really. But yeah, I'll be saying that from now on. Thank you. I will be saying that.
What's the state of Game right now? Is it still flourishing? Is it doing okay?
Oh no. Oh,
okay.
No,
okay.
A lot of them are closing.
Okay, that's the same with GameStop.
Same
here.
With GameStop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
GameStop back in the day was really cool because they used to sell like video game related snacks and drinks, and they still sell lots of like Funko Pops and all your other like figurines and shit, but. It used to be really cool back in the day. And they always had those TVs playing like the trailers and shit for new games. And that always got you hyped up. And I was always so excited to like reserve the next big game. Be like, it's only $5 down. Like, I might as well. What else am I going to do with $5?
That's
buy.
Basically free.
It's free
like,
video
like,
game.
I could buy. Nowadays, it's like I could buy 5 cans of ravioli with that $5, bitch. I don't want to reserve no game.
Oh, man.
You can't be out of ravioli for ravioli now. It's going
right.
From figures and Funko Pops then, because I had a bit of a thought towards this episode that I wasn't sure necessarily what you would class as gaming adjacent media. So I didn't know if it was going to be like gaming figures, for example, or card games or movies of games.
Oh, it
so
can be. Basically anything about video games that is not a video game.
Okay. All right. So how do you guys feel about gaming figures then? Do you guys have, like, I know a lot of people have a lot of collections. Tommy, I'll put this to you first, because opening a question to two people can cause problems when you're both trying to talk. Oh,
look at that, you're a professional. So yeah, Tommy,
have you got a huge collection of gaming figures?
No, I have never been into the gaming figures collecting. I had one amiibo. It was a Princess Peach amiibo that I gave to an ex's daughter, and when we broke up, she just kept it, which is I'm totally fine with, obviously.
I was about to say, what a bitch.
No, I don't need that Princess Peach amiibo.
Okay, that's fine then, I guess. I was so firmly on your side to stick you up, like, yeah, I stand by my bros.
Go ahead.
No.
No, the question's to you, Tommy. Go.
No,
guys are so polite. I'm supposed to be the British one.
No, I never. I barely.
We're so close to Canada.
Yeah, yeah, we're okay, super close to Canada.
Sorry's like come over the border.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I didn't have much money for games. I can't imagine spending it on other stuff.
Yeah, a lot of them are very expensive. I will say that these are like First for Figures, that obviously is one of the bigger brands for gaming figures. They have a Metroid Prime section, and oh my god, some of them are like $1,000. And fuck, I really want that Phazon suit Samus that lights up, but there is like six in the world.
Oh dang!
That sounds so awesome, dude.
Yeah, yeah. All lights up, armor black and red and silver. Fucking sweet, bro. And you have that suit in the
rock
game for
hard.
Like 5 minutes.
Wait, do you really? Yeah. I'm still looking for it.
Oh yeah, he's yeah, yeah. You.
It's only like at the end, isn't it?
Towards the end section. Yeah.
That's why I haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
yeah. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I have a. I was gonna say if it is my turn, if I may, Tommy, if I may.
You may. I yield the remainder of my time.
Yes, please, please go.
I'm desperately searching for a photo of my amiibo collection because I've bought a lot of amiibos, but I guess I'll just put them in the chat once I find them. Yeah, I used to buy a lot of amiibos. A lot of them were on sale for the longest time, especially before Animal Crossing, before New Horizons came out. A lot of the Animal Crossing amiibos were on sale. There's a store called in the U.S. called Five Below, and they sell, like the game, like the name suggests, a lot of stuff for below $5, and a lot of them were like $2 or $3. So I stocked up on a bunch of those, but. If I find, I'll snap a photo and I'll send it to you in our chat and chill in a channel that I just renamed. And
yeah, if you get a picture of the shop as well, because I work in Celsius, I just thought it was a really cold shop.
Yeah, they keep ice cold.
Like, damn, Five Below, that's better take a jacket.
I'll get you a photo right now, dude. No, it's not.
The Five Below store is fun.
Freezer store.
We just had to. We saw it was like a light up shower head from the Five Below store, and we was like, well, we have to have a light up shower head. Why wouldn't we? And it broke after the second try, and I was like, to be expected.
Yeah. we have a similar store called Poundland, but that also sounds like a sex shop.
Stop.
Damn, you guys have the best stores, dude. All right, woman. Should we go to Sex or Poundland?
Oh, no.
Let's see what this Five Below is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's...
Oh, they use the tagline, though. Hot stuff, cool prices.
Yeah.
What they're doing.
They've got some cool stuff, though. They've got a lot of anime-themed shit. Yeah, like little anime drinks and candies and...
Paddling pools, cool. Glow-in-the-dark chalk. I've always wanted that.
Dude. Oh, no shit, they have glow-in-the-dark chalk?
I was joking about being excited about this, and you were like, damn.
That'd be cool, actually. You could draw, like, an SOS on your driveway and see if, like, a helicopter see it and land at your house. Be like, dude, I'm just joking, but please help or something.
And then you can big that up to your neighbors. You're like, damn, did you see my new helicopter I just got on my drive?
less than $5 for this chalk.
Yeah, man.
Jacket prototype style, just dive through the fucking windshield and attack the man. I wouldn't really attack a man. This is just a joke for the show, people.
Yeah,
we've
got that on the record. That was on the internet. It was live then.
Redacted.
Oh shit.
Redacted. I remember going to GameStop, which is what we were talking about 5 minutes ago, I sold my entire Nintendo Wii collection and my Wii to purchase a PlayStation 3 and like two controllers, four games. The resale value back then was like crazy. They were like, yeah, we'll give you $30 for a game, why not? And now it's definitely not like that. Now they're like, you have to become a member and you have to use our card. That's how you get the money.
It depends on the game, though.
True.
Yeah. See, I did this a similar thing. Like, took a lot of my games that were like copies, or if I'd basically, because I grew up in a gamer household, me, my dad, and my brother would buy like three copies of every game so we could all play multiplayer on specific games. So we had like a lot of copies of games. So I went down to Sex. I will say to the sex shop.
Yes.
Took these. That was well sexual. You said that, man.
Goddamn right you were.
Went down to Poundland to swap some of my games. And they gave me like, I don't know, I must have taken about 30 games in, and I think they gave me about £22.
Oh.
I was mad. I was like, you know what, fuck it, just give me my money, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I went in like a few days later, and they had one of my games out for £39.
Dang.
Fuck. Yeah.
They're making a profit.
I was mad.
What also pissed me off about that whole bullshit thing was that if you wanted to get actual like cash instead of store credit for cash, they had to give you like, it was like 10 or 20% less.
It was way less.
So if you had like, if you had like $30 in store credit, they'd be like, okay, well, we can give you cash, but it's only going to be like $20 or something stupid. Like.
Yeah, because they're relying on you to lose that card and not come in and change that money, you know, exchange it for anything. It's like Netflix relying on people's subscriptions to forget that you've got a subscription and be like, ah, it's all right, I'll just keep it going.
God
damn. I remember when, I don't know, I guess probably it is. Do you remember when Netflix, they'd mail you discs for games and shit before it was like the...
I didn't know that, no.
I had a college roommate who had movies mailed to them from Netflix, and then they'd send it back when they were done.
Wow. Oh my God.
Weird time.
I had a roommate who was a bastard with Netflix back then. Guess what his name is? It's Matt. But it wasn't Matt R. But he would rent games and movies from Netflix, like the physical movies and shit like that, and he wouldn't return them. He would just cancel his fucking debit card.
Oh, man.
And then he would just get a new one, so Netflix couldn't charge him for them. I'm sorry for giving out your trade secret, Matt, if you're listening to this. I apologize, but, I mean, nobody's getting games like that from Netflix anymore.
I wonder Netflix stock's tanking.
I love that if you had
Netflix... That's got fucking movies.
Was it the Nintendo Wii where you had to get a disc from Netflix in order to use Netflix on the Wii?
Yeah. Yep.
Really? And install it as a software?
No, you had to have the disc running.
Oh,
with the software.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's very
super
weird.
Yeah,
because Netflix isn't on the Switch to this day, is it?
No. No.
Nope. But they have Hulu.
It's on the 3DS, I think.
Crunchyroll and... Yeah, it is on the... Yeah, it was. It's not anymore, though.
Oh.
Weird.
Inglorious. Glorious 320p on the old 3DS or something.
Can I watch The Witcher in 3D or something like that, though?
Oh, I bet you could.
I think
it still works.
I think they did. Where is my 3DS?
Oh, God.
Tell me.
What, Aaron? Tell me.
No, he blew my mind with that. You could watch like any show on Netflix on the 3DS in 3D. Like, I wonder if that would work.
Someone's got to find out.
Someone go. If anyone has a 3DS right now, turn it off.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Netflix works on that anymore.
Sorry, Tommy. I think you were about to say something as I chimed in.
Yes, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't remember what I was going to say. Is it time for an ad break or is it too early?
Yeah, we can do an ad break.
Okay. We'll be right back, everyone.
Let's give a quick shout out to our patron, A Novel Console. They've been with us strong since we've started our Patreon. If you haven't checked them out already, they're a variety podcast. They talk about food, video games, books. They're awesome. Thank you, A Novel Console.
Thank you,
Tommy. If you would.
Today's episode is sponsored by Evan's Imaginary Friends. Hey everyone, remember Imaginary Friends that you had in the 90s? Well, guess what? They're back. Stop on down to Evan's Imaginary Friends at your local mall and check out their supply. They've got the newest Billy model, the newest Timmy model. You can go and chat with our imaginary friends and see if they're a fit for you. Harrison just stopped by and checked out the Imaginary Friends, and he's got nothing but good things to say. Right, Harrison?
They were great.
Thanks, Harrison. So once again, Evan's imaginary friends, go find a friend. They are friendly. They'll talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. They're good listeners, great listeners. Only $1,000 down, these imaginary friends can be yours. Thank you, Evan's imaginary friends. And we're back.
I had no warning that was going to happen. I would have liked to have known that was going to happen.
But that's what makes it fun.
You should have had imaginary friend accessories.
Oh, that would have been good.
Imaginary moon shoes. Watch how high your imaginary friend can jump.
No, we like being unpredictable with the ad breaks. They have like an Eric Andre show effect where you just, like, you don't know what the fuck is happening, but like shit is happening.
You're just there living it.
That's how in our handhelds episode, Tyler, he was like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Like, he literally was like, what is happening?
I was, like, yelling at him.
Oh, that's fun. Did you in your empire, the kingdom, did you have a video game television that you watched?
Video game television? Do you mean like cartoons of video game shows?
Oh, sure. I was thinking more like a G4 is what we had here. It was a channel called G4.
Yeah, it was like...
No, not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
We had basically one channel that was video game centric called G4 that had different video game programs like X-Play, Attack of the Show, and they did...
Cheats,
yeah. Or they even had like a show that was just video game trailers for half an hour. And that was like...
Okay. I suppose if you guys did, we must have done, but it's not something that I'd ever come across myself.
I'm gonna look it up. Keep talking, fellas.
That was
like, bitch, I know the United Kingdom more than you do.
I'm going right to Google.
they also had like crazy E3 coverage back then. That was like the place to actually see E3 and like the interviews and everything. And that was like, as a child, like, that's my mecca. That's where I need to go someday to experience the video games.
Yeah, I've never been to E3, and I would love to go. I've been to a couple of like gaming conventions over here, but they're nothing on the sort of scale of E3.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I come home from school, I'm going to watch X-Play Attack of the Show, and I'm going to laugh about people talking about video games.
Haha, that's what I love. Yeah, I know what you mean. We did have like channels, for example, like we had Fox Kids over here as well, which obviously you know you guys did in America.
Yeah,
Happy Network, that kind of thing. So that did show like the Sonic cartoon, which was pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorites though was actually the Super Mario Brothers cartoon, the Super Show.
Oh, the original.
Oh my god.
The original, yeah, man. But the thing is, I never caught it on television. I actually had a 3.5 hour VHS that somehow ended up in my house. Don't know where it came from. The only other one that I knew existed was weirdly at one of my grandparents' house. She had another one. But because it was a VHS and like clipped down, it didn't actually include any of the live action sections.
Oh,
yeah. Lou Albano and Danny Wells.
Those were the best.
Yeah. And so when I've gone back and watched it recently, because I actually want to do a full Grief Burrito episode about the Mario cartoon because of how good it is. I will, just for you. I'll shout you out just for it.
Especially on the episode that has MC Hammer.
There's
one where MC Hammer comes in, bro. They have lots of hilarious. I think so. That was in like the 80s. I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna look that up too. By the way, there was a G4 that it was in. The UK and Ireland.
Well, fuck me, right? I didn't know.
I had a Super Mario VHS too. It was
nice. Which one was it? Which episodes were on it? Do you remember?
I remember brief things. There was a mushroom that made Bowser grow giant, like a giant Godzilla, and then Mario had to as well. No, it was like a squid. It was a squid or something. No, it was not a suit. They actually grew to be giant size. And like Bowser used like a train as like a nunchuck. They were both, it was like a kaiju battle, but I didn't even know what kaiju were back then.
Yes. No, sorry. I do remember that. So what happens in that one is Mario and Luigi go to basically Tokyo.
Yes.
And they go inside a mecha suit first, and then Bowser destroys the suit. And then they have to eat, does he eat spaghetti and meatballs?
Yeah, it's something special.
Oh, really fucking big. God,
yeah,
dude,
yeah, and
yep,
then they fight the city. It's so good. I actually love that show because the music was all of the game music, and the sound effects in the cartoon were all the sound effects from the games. It tied in so well.
I was going to say, I'm really sad that you didn't get to see the live action part, because they use those sound effects there too. And it just,
yeah,
it's...
I've seen some of it. I have seen some of it when I've gone back and watched, but I've not made my way through the whole show again. Mm. And I want to go back all the way through it. But there's a super show for each of the game, isn't there? Because there's ones with Yoshi and Super Mario World. Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Man, that was such a nostalgia flashback. I didn't even remember I had that until you mentioned it.
There you go, pull that shit up. So how do you feel about the Super Mario Brothers movie that we're going to be getting soon, Tommy?
I'm excited. I am not a nitpicky person when it comes to movies. I go to movies to enjoy them. I don't get into the drama around everything. I'm going to go to this movie and I'm going to have a fun time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm trying to live more that way. As someone who's like worked in TV a long time, I always look at stuff and I'm always wondering like, oh, how is that made? What's the production behind it? So I often spot things in films that I'm like,
yeah,
oh, I wish
sure.
you'd have written it that way, or you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm trying now to really stop doing that and to enjoy something for the sum of its parts, basically, just for more of what the actual content is, how it was imagined, as opposed to how you would make it, or what I would change if I made it, for example. And I think now is a great time, because we're sort of rewriting the rule that gaming adaptions into films have to be shit, because
yeah,
a lot of them now
sure.
aren't. Great example is The Last of Us, which has just come out. I've mm-hmm. been really enjoying that. I think it's pretty
top-tier
television.
Oh, same.
Even going as far as the old Mario Brothers movie, which I know is bad, but that doesn't mean I don't like it.
Yeah,
it's still incredibly fun to watch because it's so weird.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things that I love the most is that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo were insanely drunk for every scene.
That's funny.
That just makes it infinitely more fun for me. And yeah, did you know the set designer, by the way, the production designer for that is the same guy as Blade Runner? And that's why it's so like sci-fi weird. Yeah, that's true.
That's cool.
Yeah. Why did they get him, though, for a Super Mario Brothers movie? No idea.
Need to do a reboot of the live-action Mario Bros. Movies, but have like H.R. Giger do all this stuff.
Oh my gosh!
Like the guy who designed, yeah. the Xenomorph from the Alien series and all of his other
Goombas
weirdo art,
terrifying.
Which is cool.
Everything will be terrifying. Have you seen any of H.R. Giger's painting?
It's messed up. There's a lot of dicks in there, Aaron. There's a lot of dicks.
Yep.
They'll just turn them into pipes.
Hella phallic.
Just
jumping into
pipes.
Penises. And, yeah.
This is neither here nor there, but like just set design from movies in the 80s and 90s. I miss that. I watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids the other day, and I was like, how did they do this in 1989?
Dude.
How do they have all of this? It must have taken an eternity to make.
It will have done. I mean, it's a lot of stuff like that I do really appreciate. I had a friend of mine, where I work now, I work for a social media company, so I do video production for them now. And I was leaving the office with one of the younger guys, and he's like, I've just started watching this film. I don't know if you know it. 2001 A Space Odyssey. And I was like, Lewis, that is one of the most famous movies ever made. I'm familiar with it. Yes. and he was like, I just can't get over how they made this movie look this good in like 1967. And I was like, I know. It's just, there's no wonder that people think Stanley Kubrick faked the moon landing, because it looked real at the time. And it still looks pretty good now.
Oh, man.
Do you guys remember going to, well, I guess like any supermarket or whatever, and going to the there's like book sections where they had like cheat code guides, and they had those books that came with like little figures for Pokemon and like other games, like books of like games or whatever, and they had like they would include little figurines or like little trinkets and stuff like that. Those were so cool when I was a kid.
What store was that? Yeah. I'm not familiar with that.
That was usually in like Walmart in the I think it was usually in the video game section, but they were almost always by where like the cheat code guides and shit were.
I don't remember figurines. You should have pointed them out to me.
I don't think we were ever at Walmart at the same time as kids.
Over his crippling figure addiction.
Yeah, I didn't have any figurines because I didn't know where they were.
That's true. Yeah.
Man,
dude.
Oh, go ahead. I don't mean to keep jacking the whole thing from you, Tommy. Go ahead.
No, I didn't. I was just saying, man.
Oh, okay. Do you remember? The show Cheats from G4? And like, did you ever watch that one, Tommy?
I didn't, and it's weird to me because whenever I see other people talk about G4, they mention Cheat, but I never watched it. Dude, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
It was the coolest thing ever because normally you'd have to go like buy a book or like go online to get your cheat codes for games, but no, this one. So my biggest memory with it was that we didn't have it at my mom's because you can't get it on satellite, I guess. It was cable only or something stupid. So whenever I would go to my dad's every other weekend, he had basic cable or whatever, so I'd watch G4 because I would get my fill of it and just stuff my fat fucking face with G4 before I left. And yeah, Cheat was one of the shows I watched a lot of because they would give you like tips and hints and actual cheat codes for games. And at the time I was stuck on this one boss in like Dead Rising, I think. And they give you this like little tip on how to easily beat him in like one shot or something like that. And I would hurriedly write that down as he's talking. And they also give you cheat codes for older games too, like Contra. And
how crazy is that? Like right now we can't think of cheat codes in any game, but like 15, 20 years ago, there was a 30-hour daily television program dedicated to giving you cheat codes.
Yeah.
Do you want to know?
Their researcher teams must have just sat there trying every combination they could.
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, that's what I would do. Did you guys ever? I never used this. I only learned about it later, but apparently Nintendo had like a hotline you could call and talk to people if you were stuck in a game.
Yeah, lots of companies had that. There was
that's pretty cool. I like that. I never used it myself, but yeah, I know of it.
The game company Sierra, they had a lot of point and click adventure games where you could easily get stuck or like not find your way around, and you could call them and they'd give you a tip for like, I think it was like $2 or something. You had to pay for it.
Yeah, you did have to pay for it, which is interesting.
Anyway, yeah, they gotta make money, aren't they?
That's so weird.
Harrison, do you want to know what happened to G4?
Yeah, tell me what happened.
It got bought by someone who didn't care about video games, and they started, instead of having, it was still called G4, but they started running reruns of Cops, of Lost,
and Cheaters,
Cheaters
all the time.
On, right? Okay.
I was just scrolling through all the things they got, and they had a show called Bomb Patrol Afghanistan, which I'm just going to read the description. Bomb Patrol Afghanistan is an American documentary television series that premiered on G4. The series follows members of a United States Navy Explosive Ordnance Disposal Unit as they hunt for and dismantle explosives in Afghanistan.
So they're really playing to the kid audience that they've got on G4 then, right?
And then I got shut down because no one wanted to watch any of those shows, obviously.
I'm not surprised. Their audience was kids.
I know.
RIP G4.
Yeah. Damn.
I mean, it's nice to see where the gaming like content can expand to outside of typical media. I quite find, like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Legend of Zelda mangas at all. I noticed you've got Aaron, a Majora's Mask tattoo on your hand.
Hell so, yeah.
I'm guessing that you may be familiar with them.
I've seen a couple of the Twilight Princess mangas at stores here, like GameStops here and there.
Yeah, a perfect segue, as the one I wanted to bring up was the Twilight Princess one, so thank you for dropping that in there.
You're welcome.
That's up to like edition 11, I think, so far now. A couple of the other ones, I've only done like two or three editions, so it's quite impressive that they've gone as far as they can. It comes out every like 4 or 5 months or something like that.
That's cool.
And they really like develop the plot in it, and it's really nice to see the content from the game sort of spread out a little bit more, and the art is absolutely beautiful. Like, it's done really, really well, and they always tend to stick to the art styles for each of the game as it changes. You know, obviously, like, you have the Wind Waker Link and everything like that, and the Four Swords kids. I would recommend checking them out, honestly, man. If you're a Zelda fan, they do it. There's two Majora's Mask ones as well, which give you a bit of extra content about where the mask came from, like the dragon armor it was carved from and stuff. I think you might.
That's cool.
Dig that.
This is news to me. I've never heard of this. Is this is like a currently thing that Nintendo is doing? Yeah. Like, this is official?
Yeah, man. I'll drop a link in the Discord for you after the episode. It's the episode. Well, edition 11 just came out, I think, because it's just on Amazon.
Weird. That's cool.
They also do mangas for the for Splatoon and surprisingly ARMS. They had an ARMS
and Mario.
Manga for
a
little
Mario
while.
Land one.
I didn't think they did. Well, I guess the Pokemon manga has been going on for a long time, and it was like a lot darker than the games where first biggest Pokemon would actually fucking die and get like impaled and shit.
Yeah. I saw one of like an Arbok that got its head cut off, and I was like, well, I'm never reading those.
Yeah. Nurse Joy is just putting Pokemon down left, right, and center in the center. I actually didn't know it was that dark. I will be checking it out though.
Yeah, there's a couple of I guess there were memes. A couple of memes I've seen on Facebook where people will compare like the manga to the show because there was one I guess where Totodile got impaled by I forget what the fuck it was. I think it was like a Beedrill or so. Yeah, poor Totodile. Rip Totodile, everybody. Poor one out for my boy.
You can kind of feel it in that Pokemon movie when Pikachu starts crying and Ash is dead. I mean,
that
hit us all. That got us right in.
I bawled my eyes out.
The tears coming. Yeah, yeah.
I was crying like a baby when that happened. I was like, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think everyone was. Fucking hell, it was well sad. I mean, saying that is like The Last of Us at the moment. Every time Pedro Pascal feels an emotion, it's a knife in the ribs, and I'm like, oh God, why? Pedro, no.
Just when he doesn't even like say it. Like, it's not like other things where it's like, here's the big emotional moment. It's just when he's hugging her, he's like, everything's okay, baby girl. And I'm like,
oh, I know. And you can see the broken watch as well. Yeah. Like, that's perfect cinematography there, boys and girls. Learn that shit out.
That's a good one to bring up too. Like, I've never ever played any of the Last of Us games, but yeah, that show is really, really good. I
fantastic.
I mean, I still don't care about playing the games because the show is just like, it's doing it for me, dude. I don't.
Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. I've learned all I need to know. Yeah, I only played the first one, so I sort of know where it's going. I know about the second game, so I know what's coming basically. I don't know how it ends or anything, and I'm not going to look up anything because I want to be surprised by the show. But I do like the divergences that it makes, and I think when gaming media does stand on this sort of adjacent point, I do like the slight divergences you get, whether it's like, I know a lot of people hated on the Halo TV show, for example. I didn't think it was the worst thing in the world. There was things again, like I said, I wouldn't have done that they did, like taking Master Chief's helmet off in the first episode. At least build up a bit of drama first. But I get why they did it, you know. And he wasn't a bad Master Chief. I think a lot of the script things weren't correct. One of the other Halo pieces of media that I don't know if... Do you guys play Halo? Do you play much Halo at all?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So are you familiar with the book series?
I know of them. I know of them, but I've never read them.
Yeah. So there's like... If any of listeners from Grief Burrito listen to this episode, they know that I harp on about this series. And I've actually become quite friendly with the author as well, Karen Travis. She's a brilliant writer.
Nice.
She's done the trilogy of Halo, which is Glasslands, Thursday War, and Mortal Dictator. And she's actually done 5 Gears of War books as well, all of which are really, really good. So the Gears of War books take place in between each of the games. So the first one is before the first game and after the first game. The second book is before the second game and after the second game, and it like fills in.
Oh, interesting.
But the whole of the Kilo 5 trilogy takes place between Halo 3 and 4. So when people think the Master Chief is dead, or at least killed in missing in action, as MIA, because Spartans never die apparently, and it follows a squad of 3 ODSTs, 1 Spartan, a xenoanthropologist, as I think this is the correct term, and the person who's going to be the next leader of Oni, called Saren Osman. She's a failed Spartan as well. And it's about their adventure through the different parts of the Halo universe, navigating the Covenant collapsing, and when the humans in the Covenant are kind of being friends. And I just think it's really interesting the way that Karen Travis did it, because it could be an interesting story regardless of the universe it's in. It's not just good because it's in the Halo universe. It would be good anywhere. And I think that's really important when it comes to game writing, and especially stuff like The Last of Us. Like you were saying then, you haven't played the games, but you're enjoying it because it's a good story anyway. It doesn't have to just be from a game. And I just hope that more people concentrate on that going forward as they start making adaptions. And that's why I think it would be a good idea to take slight divergences from source material, but also make sure to keep the people happy who love the source material, if you know what I mean.
It's such a hard balance to strike. It's because if you just recreate the video game beat for beat, it's kind of like, well, why did we even need a TV show? But if you diverge too far to make it more relevant for TV, people are going to be like, where's my video game references?
Yes, exactly.
And I like that you brought up the Gears of War books too, because those are cool, because like it's all this, the Gears of War world is like, there's so much lore and like backstory to like the whole entire world, and that like it wouldn't necessarily work in a video game, which is why they work perfectly in a book. Like I've only read maybe one of the Gears of War books, and then it takes place maybe like a little bit before the first game or something like that, but there's a lot of information.
Yep.
And there's a lot of information to get from that book that you don't from the games. Like they talk about like the breeding farms, and they talk about something about the Lambin, I forget. And there's a lot of information that you don't get in the games that like you really wouldn't work as a game, if that makes any sense.
Oh, but absolutely.
Book adaptations of games are,
because you actually learn where the Hammer of Dawn satellites come from.
Really? Like, tell me.
The Coalition didn't have them. They were taken by what's their equivalent of Russia, and the Aspo Fields battle, where Dom's brother dies, and why Marcus starts looking after Dom is because they've gone after the technology to steal this satellite to learn to make the Hammer of Dawn, which is never mentioned. And like, there's the book that's even set before that, which is, I think it's actually the last book in the series, which is called The Slab, is about Marcus in prison, like running up to literally where Don gets him out of prison. Like you find out how he gets a scar across his face, which is never mentioned in the game.
That's awesome. I love that stuff.
And it also mentions a lot of the those cities that got ashed or whatever it's called, where they're just people are like
petrified.
Not like frozen. Petrified, yeah. Like they don't ever talk about that in the games. Or I guess they kind of touch on it, but the books talk like a lot about that, about how like the Hammer of Dawn just completely altered fucking entire environments. And that shit's so cool. I love that.
The only game that actually mentions it is Gears of War 3. And the reason why that one mentions it is because Karen Travis, who wrote the books, wrote Gears of War 3.
I didn't know that.
That's cool.
She did that well that the makers of the game were like, okay, you can go with it. So there's a character in Gears of War 3 called Bernie, which is the older lady with the gray dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah.
So she's a character who's through all of the books. She's like a friend of General Hoffman through the whole thing.
Man.
That's cool as hell.
That's so cool.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Honestly,
any Gears of War fans listening, highly recommend reading that book series. It's very, very good.
Even if you don't enjoy how chunky and beefy the boys are in that game, or any of the characters for that matter,
like, big chunky boys.
They are so big.
They're big. Yeah.
They're thick. 2-3 seats at least.
You guys unlocked another memory for me. I actually read the novelization of the Resident Evil movie. So I read a book based on a movie based on a video game.
Nice, layers deep. How was it?
Give us a
comprehensive review.
I was in elementary school, so I don't remember any of it. I just remember that I did read it.
I mean, I'm impressed.
Oh my
because
god,
that's mature reading for a child.
Yeah. My mom was like, it's a video game. I'm sure it's fine.
That's fine.
I remember at the, I don't know if do you guys have the Scholastic Book Fair in schools in the UK?
I don't know what scholastic means, but there's a word that's very similar that means the R word we're not supposed to say. So,
Scholastic, it's like a book publisher, I think, or book manufacturer
or
something.
They get kids to read.
Oh, okay.
Basically, the book fair is this thing that they have in like elementary school and shit, where there's just like shelves of books, and you can like look at books and buy books and stuff like that. But I remember a lot of the books I bought as a kid were like, there was one that was like a novelization of like, it was like Super Mario Land 2 or like Super Mario Bros 2 or one of the Super Mario games, but novelized, and it was so weird. And then there was one of it was Oracle of Ages or Oracle of Seasons, but novelized, and that was also weird. But
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I found, we were cleaning out my grandpa's office one day in his attic. He had Nintendo Scratch games from like the 80s. It was like a Legend of Zelda Scratch game where you use like a penny to scratch it off, you know, and it had like different paths and you had to try and make it to the end without taking too many hits or whatever. Wow, that's I just cool. had that memory pop up.
I'm gonna have to look that up. I bet they're like insanely valuable, man.
Oh, I'm sure. They're long gone though. But man, what a Nintendo Scratch things.
I think Tommy made a tweet about this before, but like, what was y'all's first? Like, I guess what demo of a game made you want to go and buy that game? Like, what was your favorite memory with that?
Harrison, you go first.
It would have to be Wind Waker for me on the GameCube.
Ooh.
This was a game that came on a demo disc with, what was it on now? It's the Master Quest disc. I've actually still got it, the collector's edition. It comes with Zelda 1, Zelda 2, Ocarina of Time, Master Quest. Yeah, Ocarina of Time, Master Quest, and Majora's Mask. And then it did have a 15-minute demo of Wind Waker on it as well. Mm. And it was something that I was saving for anyway. Like, I remember, I've told this story before on our show, that I didn't buy lunch at school for a good, like, 6 months because I knew this game was coming out. And I saved my lunch money and just starved myself so I had enough money. And I remember my mum being like, where have you got, like, £45 from? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm going to buy Zelda today.
I don't know.
Yeah, so it was probably that one for me. What about you?
This isn't like when we were younger, but the demo for Kingdoms of Amalur, like, I didn't play games like that before then, the action-adventure RPGs, and I played through it, and, like, by the time I got to the end, I forgot it was a demo, and I was like, no, I need more. I need to have more. Yeah. So I had to purchase it to continue playing it. The combat felt so good. I was, like, really brought in by the story. They dug those hooks in deep right at the end. I was like, I gotta know what happens.
Was it a good game, more importantly, when you got it?
Yes. Yes. I really, really enjoyed playing the rest of it. Absolutely.
I have never even seen this game.
They made a remake within the last couple of years, so they upgraded the graphics and everything.
Is that Reckoning on Steam?
Yes, Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning.
It's all made by my favorite person in the entire world, Curt Schilling.
One of the two baseball players you can name.
Curt Schilling and Albert Pujols.
It's the two baseball
players.
Yeah, there's a famous baseball player named Albert Pujols.
Oh, he must get fucking heckled off the pitch.
No, he's one of the... He's
ground? I don't know what it's called.
He's legit one of the best players in the history of the sport. Like, he's top three.
Really?
Yeah.
He has to be that good so people don't call him fucking Pujols.
Yeah, dude.
I literally never even thought about it until Aaron started laughing when I said his name, and I was like, what's wrong? And then he was like, Pujols, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh man,
damn son.
I think the most memorable one for me would be I had this demo disc on the PS2. I forget what other games were on it, but there was this game called Urban Reign, and it was this like 3D. I guess like it was more of a brawler than anything, and yeah, at the time, like me and my little brother would play the fuck out of it, and we would just beat the absolute piss out of everything on screen. And then I was like, "Dude, this is actually really good." And then like the next time we went to GameStop, I found it there actually, and it was only like $15. And I was like, "Dude, like we're staying up all night and we're playing this." Yep. And then it was pretty good. They had like a couple characters from Tekken in it, like Paul Phoenix and Martial Law, I think is his name or something.
The guy who was like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, yep. And yeah, the game was pretty dope.
Did you guys have the demo stations in the UK in your stores where it was just like a TV 20 feet up in the air that you'd have to crane your neck to look at to play the games?
Yes.
Nice. Those were the best.
I would just lie down on the floor and play it because fuck looking up for that long.
They had a Rock Band set up at our Walmart, so I could just play Rock Band after I was done working at Walmart.
Oh, dude, the strum bars on those were always so loose because people would just fucking beat the crap out of it.
People had no respect for video game peripherals.
No respect. No respect. I always struggled playing Rock Band and Guitar Hero because I play guitar normally.
That's what everybody says.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you don't play every note of the song. So you play like you're going to play every note and you start hitting wrong notes.
Can I tell you something embarrassing? Can you guys keep this a secret?
Please.
Me and the rest of the listeners will definitely keep this a secret.
So I love Guitar Hero. It's probably one of my top five most played games ever. And at one point in college, I was like, let's do the real thing. Let's play the real guitar. So I bought a guitar from a friend in college, and I was like, Why the hell does this have six strings? How am I supposed to move my fingers across six strings?
Bro.
I'm always so moved by your stories, Tommy.
So I never learned how to play guitar.
I'm going to tell that story to everyone.
No! He said he'd keep it a secret. Cut his mic.
The next Netflix show I work on, I'm going to put it right on the screen.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so good. I wish I had as many goofy stories as you do, but I just...
I can't
think of any. One of these episodes, I'll have a good one for you. Mine are always like ones where I'm like angry or somebody broke something and I got mad at them. I don't have any embarrassing ones.
I went to...
You're just too chill of a guy, man. You're just too chill to have these weird stuff. You take everything nice and relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of. Like, I remember one time I was playing... I think I was playing Yu-Gi-Oh! With my cousin. And I forget exactly what happened, but he countered something I did. And I got really, really mad. And I about slapped him. Like, I came real close to slap him. And I was... I was maybe like...
Control that.
I was like 11 years old. But, like, yeah.
I mean, if he stood up and full-on went, ha! You've activated my trap card. And literally gave it that. You had the permission to slap him.
Yes. Yeah, just, absolutely.
You've triggered my trap card.
Bitch slap.
You tripled my triggered my slap card.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice.
Damn. That's it. Slapjack.
Add some cheers underneath that, man. You know, whoever's editing this episode, add some cheers.
This guy. Yeah, we'll get one of those in there.
I mean, just like a second. Just like, yeah. That
was it. Man. That's all I had written down for stuff from the past. Do you guys remember things from the past?
I don't remember anything ever. I would like to shout out the Mortal Kombat movies, because that original one, goddamn, that was cheesy as fuck. That soundtrack,
good.
It was pretty sweet. Like, all out cheese.
All out cheese. I just had one and I lost it. Give me one hot second. I'm thinking of it again.
I could say another embarrassing story.
Sure.
Yes.
I'd love okay.
That would really help me.
It's Rock Band related or Guitar Hero related. I remember. So I went to college at a place far, far away from my home, and I didn't have any friends or anything. And the internet said, like, on your first days, leave your door open. Leave a note on your board for people to come hang out. So I left my door open. I wrote on the board, stop on in, play some Guitar Hero. No one ever showed up. So it's just me playing guitar.
That's not a funny story. That just hurts.
I said embarrassing, yeah.
That was like a Pedro Pascal story. No, I'm just sad.
I eventually made friends, tons of friends who were into video games, and we had a lot of fun playing video games.
Good. Good, I'm glad.
I guess the only embarrassing story I have, and it is related to, I think it is Rock Band, but back in the day, I used to know every single lyric to the song Danny California by Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I think it was our junior year prom, I played Rock Band with a couple of our classmates, and I sang the whole entire song, and what a song that is.
I don't remember
what song.
That's
not a shame.
It is a good song,
That's not embarrassing to learn the words to it. However, I hope you gave it your all. I hope you did.
I mean, my voice isn't really made for singing, as you can probably tell. It's more like, I hate to keep bringing up fucking Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond, but I have like a real Brad Garrett voice, so it's not really made for singing. But I gave it a
tone.
There's nothing wrong with that.
California.
Perfect.
Yeah, this is we're gonna do Danny California 2 octaves lower than it is.
Oh, there we go. Acapella too, dude. Let's do it.
I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but people, you're listening to the president of choir in senior year right now.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I was a singing boy.
Give me an F sharp.
Oh, I don't know notes. I can only sing with other people around me. That's why I was a choir singer.
Ah, okay.
Very good at matching pitches.
I was so fucking lazy in school. I did baseball for a week and then quit.
When was
because
that?
It was sophomore year, I believe. I took baseball.
You really expect me to remember the exact week?
Yes,
it was
because
like March
I was
third. I started until
because I was there 10th. Every day, and I don't remember that. Baseball is my favorite sport.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was a week, and I quit because it involved a lot of running. But back then, my asthma was pretty bad, so I couldn't do a whole lot of running without just going and just fucking just doing photosynthesizing for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, right on the grass like a daisy.
Yeah, just sucking it all in, dude. Filtering my air myself. But
how the real men do it, filtering their own air.
I like how this went from video game adjacent media to just goofy high school stories.
Yeah, man,
we got tons of them.
Or college. Yeah, I don't have any other things related to this topic, unfortunately.
What about you, Harrison? Pressure's on you.
Oh my god, I had a Sonic comic like puzzle book as a kid that was pretty fucking sweet.
Nice.
The Sonic comics were so good. They're so good.
They are. They're really cool. And rolling on at the speed of sound. I didn't even mean to say rolling on there, but it kind of let in nice. This thing up here on the shelf, that's the Green Hill Zone Lego set. I had to buy that.
Ooh.
It cost me like £70. It was really expensive. But it's really well made and it's really fucking cool. So I like that people, specifically Lego, are starting to do game adaptions of levels. I think that's so fucking cool. They've done Super Mario 64 one. They've done like Peach's Castle. I am just waiting for them to do a Metroid one. Give me Samus's gunship, because I need that.
Or like the fight against Ridley, or not Ridley. Sorry, Kraid, the big fat guy, where he like takes up the entire screen on one side. That'd be a full set.
Cool. I mean, a Ridley one would be cool. You could do the Chozo temple, you know, from Metroid Prime.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You could do that.
Come on, Nintendo.
Those clear, the clear plastic Lego pieces. Always love that. You know, like they do the lightsabers out of them, like the Star Wars one.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Do that. Or like Hyrule Castle. God damn it.
Perfect. God damn it.
I mean, the Mario one must be selling well if they keep making upgrades to it, or like new sets.
Yeah.
So bring it to other stuff. But Nintendo's never been the one at making the smartest decisions.
Not really. No. But I do think that with this new Mario movie, I'm hoping it absolutely slaps, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The trailers look good. I'm warming on the Chris Pratt thing. I'm looking more forward to Charlie Day as Luigi, if I'm honest.
Yes! Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. Like, I think that's going to be great.
The whole cast is so good.
Yeah, I'm trying not to get too excited. I don't want to overhype it. But because of, like, I really enjoyed the Sonic movies. I thought they were brilliant. Me and my childhood friend, Will, shout out to Will Peary. He was the one who had the Sega when we were kids growing up. I had Nintendo, he had Sega, and we'd play Sonic at his house, like Sonic 2. And me and him, two 32-year-old men, to be precise, went to our local cinema to watch Sonic 2, and it was empty, except for me and him. It was great. It was so good. We got big boxes of popcorns, boxes of mint poppets. Love mint poppets, by the way. Outstanding cinema candy. And we watched that. So from that being that good, I want the Nintendo ones to be that good. And I really think, and Aaron, you can give me your opinion on this if you like, as the big Zelda fan in the room, virtual room. Don't you think they should give Studio Ghibli the rights to make a Zelda film?
Ooh.
I never thought about that, but that would work. Yeah, that reminds me of the... that kind of reminds me of like the cover art for I think it was Zelda 2? No. There was one game that had, I can't think of that would slap like a motherfucker though. Could you imagine Studio Ghibli like Octorox and the Re-Deads and all those?
Yeah, man, you could do something like a story set in Hyrule in Breath of the Wild for the 100 years while Link was asleep. What happened to Hyrule when Ganon turned up? Do a series by Ghibli about that. That would be fucking awesome.
That would be.
Make a whole original story. Nintendo don't have to worry about it. You know that Ghibli makes sick shit.
Yeah, yeah, true. If you can trust anyone, you can trust them.
When you look at Ghibli posters, you know it says on there, sick shit.
That's another good one. Anime based off of video games. Because they do that a lot with Atlus games. Like they have an anime for Persona 3, 4, and 5. They even have them for like the Devil Survivor series. They have them for like everything.
Dead Space.
Yeah. They even have Dead Rising movies that are all in 3D CGI. They have all sorts of stuff.
That's
not anime. Sorry,
may have to look those up.
They're incredibly. They are. I only remember those because they were on Crackle back in the day when I was like dirt broke and I only used Crackle, which Crackle is a yeah, I was about to get to that. Sorry, it's like it's basically if Netflix was free and only had shitty shit, it only had the shittiest shit available, and the Dead Rising 3D CGI movies were on there, and they're
that real crackly shit. I think that should be a term from now on, man. Like if something shit, it's
that crackly shit.
Mate, this is fucking crackly. I ain't watching this,
dude. Man, what do you think, Tommy?
Sorry, I was trying to read. I'm confusing myself by reading. Something it's neither here nor there because you were saying video game anime, and whenever we talk about old cartoon anime my brain instantly goes to Cardcaptors, which I watched for like 3 weeks never forgot.
Hey, yeah,
did they ever make a video game for that?
Did they make a game for that?
They have to have. I'm sure there's one on like SNES because it's been around for a while. Hey, yeah, by the way, Cardcaptors, that's like our sixth reference on Super Saga.
I know, that's why I had to bring it up. I was like, I got to find a way to bring up Cardcaptors.
That was a good show. I enjoyed that. I also remember watching that, and then was Monster Rancher on after that? Do you remember the game for Monster Rancher?
Yeah, CDs, dude.
In the PlayStation, and it caught monsters from the CDs.
Yeah, dude. Do you remember they had, I think it was when Foxbox... I don't know if they did this in the UK, but the Fox Kids changed to the Fox Box, and they had that Kirby anime, and that was pretty fucking sweet.
I watched that.
Kirby right back at you.
Yeah. That had a good intro theme.
Yeah, that fucking intro slapped. Kirby, saving the day. I guess I do have a good singing voice, but Kirby, he's here to stay.
Oh, I thought you were just playing the intro. I thought you just played a video right now.
We couldn't tell the difference.
Shit, sorry.
I'm gonna get copyright strike,
dude.
Man, intro. I just had a brainwave too. Did you guys ever watch the Donkey Kong series on Fox?
Oh,
the digital one.
The very bad.
Oh no,
one, Crystal Coconut.
I've only seen video clips of it.
Oh man, I don't know if that was good or bad, but I lived that show. That was good.
Yes.
I remember a show called Reboot, which is another CGI one.
Ew.
Back then, I thought it was like the most futuristic, like amazing looking CGI ever. And if you look at it now, it's just disgusting.
Really?
It is, dude.
It's got
I
that
hate all
90s
the...
CGI sheen on everything.
Yeah, everything's smooth, like Beast Wars.
Yep.
I hate all of the facial animation in Reboot. Fuck that show, dude.
Everything's bad from that era and everything's shiny. Mm. Actually, last week, you guys brought up something that, again, unlocked a memory from my mind that I didn't think I had anymore. Scanners.
Yeah! Oh, are you scanners, man?
Oh, I should have brought...
I was a scanner. I had the green one. I remember buying it at Toys R Us.
Yes, I have the green one.
Yes, me.
Green and orange, baby. Yes.
Yeah, green and orange. It was, yeah. See, I only know that me and one other friend... had bought though. Sorry, I just threw my cup of tea from my giant mug all over my arms from excitement. Me and only one other person I knew ever had a scanners, and it gets really boring when there's just two of you like battling each other.
Yep. By the way,
I actually saw it get brought up the other day as well on somewhere. Did you post it on Twitter the other week?
I think so, I posted a short, yeah, like a little video clip or whatever.
I can't remember whether I was talking to you guys on Twitter or if it was someone else, but I feel like scanners are making a revival. I think they're coming back.
Here's
the only reason I know about scanners, and I hate to say it, is from Matt R. Unfortunately, he introduced me to scanners, but so I remember my fondest
barcodes.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember with scanners, I was so excited to always go grocery shopping with my mom because I would scan every fucking thing in the store. Like I would scan every single cereal box, every single can of Chef Boyardee, like everything I would fucking scan to try to get like the best monsters. And of course, scanners being scanners, there's really no good way to tell. But yeah, that shit was cool.
Now why you're buying 5 cans of ravioli every week. You're just happy.
Yeah, I gotta get the best monsters possible, bro.
You got a crippling scanners addiction now.
There needs to be a scanners competitive league. He's preparing for it.
Let's start the scanners. Oh, mate, this is going to be sick. You know what?
Dude.
I might make a new app where you scan QR codes to find monsters on phones like Pokemon Go.
Do it.
If you made it today, you could probably make something pretty sick.
You'll see me. We'll skip ahead 20 years into the future, and you'll just see me. I'm living in like a cardboard box on the street, just wearing like this same outfit, but it's all like destroyed and ragged, and like spare barcodes, and I'm just like my hands shaking, I'm starving to death.
It's a dystopian future where the currency is scanners is the currency.
Yeah,
spare codes, and I'm just scanning like everything, but it's like I've already scanned this 15 times.
I have a mission for you. Do you still have your scanners?
I do, but I don't know if the battery still works, but I can try.
If that battery works, you gotta get a copy of Agent 47 Hitman and get the monster right from the back of that guy's head.
Oh my gosh.
What do you think's in there?
That's such a good question.
Powerful monster there is.
That's gotta be. He's the apex fucking predator, dude. That's
yeah, man.
That's more than a mind blower. That's like a mind new. That's like the guy from the Warheads candies where his little head's like exploded. That's.
Oh wait, you mean like the guy from the movie Scanners?
It's all connected.
Mate, it's all coming together, bro.
Holy shit!
Do the scanners have an internal battery? It's not a replaceable battery.
I think it's replaceable. Oh. I'm pretty sure it's just like a watch battery.
Yeah.
Watch battery. Those are don't want to mess with those.
I remember having to like I remember, you know, as a kid when you get to the point where you're like, I can change my own Game Boy batteries now. I can change all of my Sega Game Gear batteries, even though it takes 100. And then unscrewing the back of my scanners and seeing that little disc and being like,
Yeah, you're like, this is alien technology.
Yeah.
Who left this candy in here?
Ooh, spicy.
Did you guys ever do that where you take like a double A or triple A battery and like touch like the little positive nub to your tongue and it burns like a bitch?
Of course I did. Of course I did.
Yeah, we all lick batteries.
Why wouldn't I?
We didn't have the internet. We had to find other things to do.
Yeah. Oh man. Ugh. This is again neither here nor there, but
the woods, you know.
There was like a full week in school where we realized if we move our bodies on the seat in the chair and stand up, you could shock each other with the electrical the static electricity. We just spent like a week shocking each other, all us dumb guys.
Oh my god. Oh my god, yes. Me and this is not related at all, but that unlocked another memory for me. Me and Joey, we were in the same algebra class in Mr. Boza's room, if you remember Mr. Boza.
Of course.
We would always... Harrison, you might know him too. No, me and Joey, we would stick staples through pencil erasers, and we would throw them at like the foam ceiling tiles, and, like try to get the most stuck up into the ceiling tiles, and by the end of the class, there would be like six erasers stuck into those fucking ceiling tiles, and they'd fall on people and they'd get mad, and we'd be like,
we're living the life. We're living the life.
Yeah, dude. Oh, peak high school.
One of our teachers, but with a glue stick, and they put glue, like, you know, like Pritt stick kind of thing.
Yeah.
Put that all over the handle on the inside.
Oh,
and they put it all over the seat and the desk. And
yes.
And they threw the Pritt stick up into the ceiling, and it stuck right above the teacher's desk. So the teacher comes in, sits down, obviously gets glue all over the pants, didn't realize, puts the hands on the table to take the register. The register sticks. The paper sticks to the desk. They're like, what the fuck's this? They try to stand up. They're all sticky. Then the fucking thing falls down, smashes on the desk. They try to warm out. The hand's all gluey on the handle. Everyone's going mad. Oh, it was, yeah, my school was awful.
That's wow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Pranks Podcast.
Prank Podcast. Super Prank Saga. Cool
pranks.
There we go. Super Nine Prank Saga.
Da, da, da.
Dude. Oh, boy.
Man.
That's, man, good times. I'm fresh out of memories. My memories have been,
That's it.
We run dry.
We've said all the memories. Harrison, do you have any more memories, or are they gone?
I remember getting this giant mug from Sports Direct.
What does it say? Sports Direct. Huh?
Sports Direct.
Sports Direct. They're just like a, you know, like, I don't even know, a sports shop, Foot Locker, that kind of thing.
Ah.
Orders like about 10 years ago, they sent out these giant mugs with every order. Like, I'm not a tiny human being. This is just an absolute fucking giant mug. and like, if I spilled this, I think I'd flood my town.
Be gone.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Six coffees in one mug. It's great.
I have a mug at work that's a PlayStation themed one, and the handle is the old original PlayStation 1 controller without the dual analogs. So I just grip my
Ooh.
PlayStation controller when I want a coffee.
Without
That's
the
cool.
place sticks.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
sure. Yeah. Because that's the superior layout. I'm sorry.
Oh,
That's
I agree completely.
Oh.
I
Shots
agree.
fired. I think so too. They have to be diagonal, otherwise, like, I don't know. Yeah.
To any audio-only listeners, I held up an Xbox controller. Just so
Oh, yes, sorry.
Actually, I've been playing recently. A memory that's just unlocked for me again is aftermarket controllers for the old consoles.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, so we had
Oh.
64 ones that were like ball strange nubs that were just the worst things to hold. But the ones that come out now, like the Hori pads, you know, that you can get for the Switch and stuff, these are really, really good.
Yeah.
We need that sort of stuff. Hey, there's a child.
Yeah, Silas woke up from his nap. He's staring at the camera.
Hey, man. Hey,
There's a
Oh,
child.
God.
Oh, he's hiding now.
He doesn't like the Hori controllers.
Yeah, see, that's a child who would only be ever committed to like one of the other controllers. He'll never know. He'll never know the awfulness of bad controllers. Because now we're in the future and we get good controllers. He'll grow up with good things like this and like Xbox, you know.
R.I.P. Mad Cats.
Yeah, Mad Cats. Yes,
Mad
exactly.
Cats,
There we
yes.
go, dude.
I hated those controllers. I had
Pieces
a
of
friend who
shit.
had a third party Guitar Hero controller because it was cheaper, and that was trash.
What?
I
They
bet.
had that? That was
Yeah.
a thing?
Yeah. I'm gonna have to look it
Good
up.
on him.
Good on him for trying. A for effort, whoever
Yeah.
you are. I hope you're listening.
They're not.
Hey. You don't know who listens to your podcast.
That's true.
We've got listeners in Namibia for some reason. Hey, Namibians.
Namibiates. I'm not sure how it
I don't know if it'd be Namibia. That's really fucking hell. That's hard to say.
is.
Namibians.
Namibian Knights?
Namibians.
Yeah, that's got to be right.
I think so. Also, in all this sidetracking knowledge that we've been trudging through our memories, I completely forgot that I was going to be ranking your things on tiers. I just didn't do it.
Oh man.
Should we
Dang.
start again?
You
Should we go back to the beginning
let's
and
let's start over. Everyone just forget everything that
the
happened. We'll start over.
Buckle in, guys. This is just the intro.
You're telling me to forget scanners, Tommy? Are you
Oh.
joking?
We can't forget the fucking Agent 47 scanners,
Can we
my
at
boy.
least agree that that's number one or A tier, S tier, whatever? Scanners.
Yeah,
That
I think
is.
scanners is up there, definitely.
That's
S
the most
tier.
meta shit I've ever heard.
Oh man. So I think we can agree we've talked about everything. There's no more video game adjacent media to discuss, correct, boys?
There's no more memories. I don't think I'll ever think of a thing again.
That's right.
Nothing else.
If you, however, listeners, think of something that we didn't talk about, tell us. Yell at us on Twitter, send us an email, leave a 5-star review, whatever it takes, you know? Where can people do that, Aaron? I guess
They
I
can,
kind of.
I mean, they can go to superpodsaga.com and yeah, you can leave comments on our website on our different stuff, or I mean, of course, I'll leave like a poll or a Q&A on if you use Spotify. I usually do that, but nobody other than myself ever fucking reacts to them. But I'll keep making them, by God.
And where can people find Grief Burrito, Mr. Burrito?
You can find us at Grief Burrito on absolutely every social media platform that ever exists. And if you want to find me personally, you can find me at Hazwild, which is HAZZWILD.
Wonderful. And
Nice.
what are we going to talk about next week, Aaron? Am I forgetting anything before we get to that?
I don't believe so.
Okay, I just have like we talked about too many memories. My brain's mixed up now. But what are we going to talk about next week?
Favorite multiplayer games.
Yes. Oh, that's going to be good. That's good. Yes, we can do that.
Should we do co-op and like online multiplayer, or just like one or the other?
Both. Whatever's
Both. Okay,
playing
cool.
video games with other people.
Oh, that's true. Yep. Okay. Multiplayer games.
Check out, let's check in next episode when we talk about that, people. Check out Grief Burrito. Check out giving 5-star reviews to everything. Thank you for listening, superstars. Bye.
Hi, boys.
Bye.